this is a call to worship.
Go ahead and take a seat when you're finished greeting one another. Won't have you stand during the announcements. We'll take care of a couple things here this morning. I'd like to just highlight a few announcements in the bulletin. Vacation Bible School is coming up in July, and if you'd like to volunteer to help do something along with that, or register your child, you can do so. See the bulletin there. Also, the annual conference is coming up in July, and the annual conference witness this year to the host city is looking for donations. You'll see the list of items they're looking for that will be collected. Is someone taking those with them to conference? Okay, we'll make arrangements to get those to conference, so you can bring those here to the church. Right after this service, there's two meetings. One is the deacon meeting, so if you're a deacon, please stay afterwards for lunch and for our meeting. But also immediately after the service, those interested or who already have signed up for the mission trip to the Dominican Republic, there will be a brief meeting in the narthex area right outside here after the service. So please attend that. And just a couple more. This evening at 7 o'clock, Topahakan High School has their baccalaureate program here in our sanctuary. And then tomorrow evening, for those of you who like to go out to eat, go over to the Twin Kiss. The youth are having a fundraiser. You'll need something similar to this, a coupon. And I think Rich and Shelley have those afterwards. If you didn't already get one in your bulletin from last Sunday, make sure you take one of these along, and the youth will get credit, and they'll get some of the money from you going out for dinner. Next Sunday, there's one service at 10:30. Followed by the old church picnic, and you're asked to bring a covered dish, and everyone is invited. And then June 16th, here at the church, is the now annual tractor, truck, car show, and motorcycles. So please plan on attending that day, and we're also looking for some volunteers to help out if you'd like to volunteer that day. And also as part of that, there's a tool sale going to happen again. If you have some tools, whether a handful of tools, a box full of tools, or a garage full of tools you want to get rid of, please see me, and I'd be glad to help you out with that. Any other announcements this morning? Not seeing any. Just have your hymnal supplement handy. We're going to sing everything out of the hymnal supplement this morning. And with that, I'd like you to rise as we join together in our call to worship. Lord, we gather to worship you, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we gather to celebrate your love and work in our lives. May your will be done in the hearts of your people. Amen and amen.
Trust.
You may be seated. That's the question we ask ourselves every single day is, are we the Lord's? And as we examine our hearts, as we look at our lives and we determine, you know, I haven't given all of it to the Lord. Maybe today's that first day where you decide, Lord, I am going to be completely yours. We'd like to encourage each of you to share any joy or concerns that you may have. It's a blessing to have my wife with me this morning. Thank you so much for your prayers for her. Her strength is coming back. It's a little bit of a different flair than we've normally experienced, but she's on her feet again, and we're blessed to have that knowledge and her with us this morning. Many other joys among us this morning about Daniel as well.
Last week I asked for, instead of praying for no seizures, I asked for seizures, and everything you guys did was awesome. We got hooked up to the machines on Tuesday morning, and in the next 17 hours, he gave us three. And of those three, his doctor actually was there to witness one of them, and now we have answers. So Daniel has what's called complex partial seizures, and we are on another medicine and hopefully on our way to a better life here. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Amen. God is good.
Some of you know and some of you don't know, but on Saturday, we're going to be moving to Virginia to our daughter. It's a big challenge, but we trust that he'll take care of us. And I want to thank this congregation for all you have done for us. Prayers, visits, gifts, cards. It was overwhelming. And I really appreciate this church, and I hate to leave, but we got to do what we got to do. So keep us in your prayers. And there'll be a change of address in the bulletin or wherever she's going to put it, but I laid it on her desk, so she should have it. Thank you.
I think you would all agree with me and affirm we love you, Pete and Carol. So on the count of three, let's just send them off with a we love you, Pete and Carol. One, two, three. We love you, Pete and Carol. Thank you for being a part of the congregation. We are so encouraged by your lives and just look forward to what God's going to do in the next place he plants you. Amen.
I have a joy. I'd just like to thank the congregation for supporting me these last 4 years. I'm officially graduated.
Woo! Round of applause for all graduates. Congratulations. I don't see Jess here this morning, but Mason is increasingly doing better day by day, so continue to pray for Mason Hartranft and with his eye, and as he has follow-up appointments, so he can continue to progress in healing with that. And we want to celebrate with Penny and Mike Graby. They were united in marriage yesterday and a beautiful outdoor wedding and reception at Leesport Farmers Market last night. And so we celebrate with them. And we also, dear sisters here who lost her mother, we extend our sympathy to you and ask God's comfort to be upon you. Good to see you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the comfort you give us. We thank you for the peace that you bring into our lives. And we know, Father, that you are on the move. You are active in our lives. And we just celebrate that very fact. And we just rejoice with the news of Daniel and with Mason and with Denise and so many others where you have just entered in and you have shown yourself. You have made yourself known. And we are just so thankful that we have modern medicine and we know how that works with the divine. And we just continue to pray your healing touch on those that are dealing with any illness of any kind. We know, Father, you are the master physician. So we pray that if it would be your will, any of those diseases or illnesses would be removed permanently from individuals' lives. We pray it so in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you'll continue to do in the lives of those that are going through difficulties each day. We do thank you for marriage. We thank you for every single marriage represented here in this place. We pray that you would continue to increase in those marriage relationships, that they would continue to see each other as you see them as a married couple, that they're one and united together. And we just thank you, Lord, for marriages. We thank you for the children and the grandchildren as we celebrate just what it means to have life. And we are so overwhelmed by life and being able to wake up each morning. But we know this life too shall end. And so we mourn with those that are mourning this day at the loss of loved ones and continue to mourn the loss of loved ones that have passed on many years ago. And so, Lord, just continue to encourage us, continue to uplift us, continue to remind us of where our final destination is. And we pray that for each of of us, that would be our eternal home in heaven. We do lift up Tim Reinhart this morning. We rejoice with him. He received his prosthetic legs, but Lord, we just pray that you would acclimate him to be able to use them and encourage him each day and give him strength and just the abilities to be able to use those new implementations on his legs, Lord, that he would feel whole again. And we just rejoice with Tim and with Lois, Lord, and continue to bless them. We think of the Dave and Marianne Fake, the loss of their daughter Julie this morning, and just pray that you would continue to be with them and bless them, Father, and give them comfort. And we just thank you, Lord, for always being near to us. We know that you are a God that never leaves us, a God that never forsakes us. So we rejoice in that knowledge that we're never alone, that you're with us through every step of every day. We do lift up our sister church, Mount Wilson, this morning. And Father, you know they lost their pastor, and we just pray that you would be with them in the search process. Bless them, Father. Allow them to be united, to be one this morning as the leadership decides what their next steps are in their search process. Just bless them, Father, this morning, and thank you for Mount Wilson. We think of Kelly this morning and pray for continued knee recovery, that your healing would be upon those knees, and especially the knee that had surgery recently, and just give her strength and give her encouragement each day as she rehabs and continues to walk more and more normal. And we just thank you, Father, for our brother Richard France. What a dear soul he is to us. And we just pray after his heart surgery, Lord, you would just continue to increase his abilities to be able to do more and more each day. And we just thank you for the progress he's already made. He's feeling okay. And we just rejoice in that knowledge this morning. And just pray for all of us here this morning, whatever it is that we're going through, Lord, we just hand it to you. We surrender it to you. And we know that you are a God that receives it. So, Father, whatever it is in these next few moments, we just hand those to you. But we also acknowledge the sin in our lives, and we confess that sin to you. So we ask, Father, and we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for the newness of life that you give us each day. We thank you for your Son, for the sacrifice that he paid on the cross for each of us, that we could be free. But Father, we know that we are yours and we have lives, but we try to control our lives, and we're just surrendering even our very lives to you, that you would use us, that you would be glorified in all that we do and say. And we pray that blessing over Carol and Pete as they move in with their daughter, Lord, that you would bless them and just use them in their new location. And just thank you for the memories that they've given us here at Little Sortara, for their friendship and for their love. And we just pray encouragement over them as they make this transition. And we just thank you again, Father, for meeting us here in this place. We pray that you would be glorified by all we do and say, and just help us to focus on you this morning and worship you and you alone. And it's in the name of your Son Jesus we pray. Amen.
for our offertory thought this morning, I'd like to share the first verse from hymn number 387. Lord, thou dost love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely, as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us, then, the grace of giving with a spirit large and free, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to thee. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you this morning for this morning offering that we can bring to you, an offering that can refresh us and we can share. And we just pray that you take this offering and that it can be used for your work here in this world, here on this earth. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Sink the boat. So, how fast can a storm hit?
Real fast.
Real fast.
Like 1 second, like beautiful, and then like next second, boom, a huge storm is there.
That's right. 1 second, it's gorgeous, and the next, boom, there's a storm. So, do you know a big storm happened like while Jesus was out on a boat?
Oh, yeah.
You know the story? All right, I'm going to tell you it again. One day, Jesus and some of his disciples were out on a lake in a boat. Suddenly, without warning, a storm came up. The wind blew so hard and the waves were so high that the water went into the boat. And the boat was about to turn over. What does it mean when it turns over?
It means like it's like on tilt and that's going to like flip.
It's going to flip and you're going to sink. Well, the wind, unless you got a life jacket.
Have to dip down and keep swimming.
Good point.
But back in that time, there was no life jackets.
Good point. Back in that time, there was no life jackets. While the wind and the waves tossed the little boat about, Jesus slept peacefully at one end of the boat. Can you sleep peacefully during a storm?
I can.
Even if you're out in the middle of the storm?
Yeah, really.
Yeah? Like, whoa, I can't do that.
I can just like close my ears.
Some of the disciples became upset that Jesus was sleeping, and they went and woke Jesus and asked him, "Master, don't you even care that we're about to drown?" Jesus got up and spoke to the winds and the waves. "Peace, be still," he said. As soon as he spoke, the wind stopped blowing and the sea became calm. Jesus' disciples were amazed. They said, "Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Do we know who Jesus is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Son of God.
He's the Son of God. You're right. And we know that Jesus can still calm storms today. Sometimes there's a sudden storm in our life. So like if a family member dies or something bad really happens, there's a storm in our life.
Is that kind of like the volcano in Hawaii?
Sure. A random storm like the volcano erupting in Hawaii. So during these times, do you know who can calm those storms?
Jesus.
He doesn't always take away all of the problems, but if we trust him, he will give us peace in our hearts, even in the middle of a storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those times when we calm the storms that come up in our daily lives. We also thank you for those times that when you give us peace, even though we are in the middle of a storm. We ask you to watch over us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys.
For our scripture reading this morning, I'll be sharing with you two readings. The first one from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And our second reading is from John, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that it has to change lives. And we pray now in this very moment that indeed it would change our lives forever. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us here in this place. We thank you that we can open our ears, we can open our minds, and we can receive in our hearts all that you have in store for us. We pray that it would be so in the name of your Son, Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's certain seasons in our lives where we ask the question, what are we living for? What's the point of my existence? Why am I even here? I'm not special. There's nothing special about me. Anyone even notices? I'm just taking up space. And we start to think we have no purpose. Friends, if you've ever felt this way, this is a lie that comes straight from the devil's mouth. Because we know that you were worth the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that you were worth his death on the cross. You're not a mistake. You have value. And believe the Lord Jesus when he says he's going to use you in powerful ways. But remember this, take caution in the wind. Life is not about you. It's not even about your family. It's not even about your job. It's certainly not about your nice car or the house that you live in. Life is about something greater. Something far greater than ourselves. And friends, until we realize this, until we finally come to grips with the fact life is not about us, we'll keep chasing our tails. Going in circles, and the next big thing, the divine, the aha moment, God himself cannot move. But trust me, friends, God will find a way. But what makes us happy, what keeps us comfy and cozy, will be pulled out from under us. You see, my friend, God longs for us each and every day to draw closer to him. You see, he sees his Son Jesus when he looks at us. He doesn't see our sin. It's like we've been shielded. It's like we're protected. We're covered under the shelter of Jesus' unconditional love. And when we're in him, we are connected. We cannot lose. We cannot be defeated. There was this newly appointed pastor who was contacted by a local funeral director to hold a graveside committal service at a small country cemetery in Iowa. No funeral, just the committal. Sadly, at his age, there were no friends or family left. So the pastor started out very early to the cemetery, but he lost his way on the back roads. After backtracking and backtracking, he finally arrived a half hour late. But the hearse was nowhere in sight. And there were workers under a tree in the distance, relaxing, eating their lunch. The pastor went to the open grave and he found that the vault lid was already in place. So he took out his ministry manual and he began to read the committal service. He said amen and he's returning to his car, and one of the workmen paused between the bites of his sandwich and he said, "Should we tell him?" And the other guys are like, "No, let's not tell him. Come on, we got to tell him." And finally, as the man is almost about to his car, he speaks up, "That's the best committal service that septic tank ever had." In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2, it reads, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot." God is only asking of us, my friends, as Amos 4 implies, return to me. Return to me. We know, as Romans 3:23 says, we are all sinners. We're doomed if we don't put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, hating something, despising something, choosing not to go along with something God has ordained doesn't change the facts. We have to get to work with the Lord. And it has to start with a finger pointing inward toward us. Because we realize that only God can change us. Oh, as parents, we try as hard as we may to try to change our teenagers. Our children we bring up, we try as hard as we can to change their behaviors. But the bottom line is we commit them to prayer and we trust the Lord to do a work in their lives, and that change can happen. We can turn to psychology, we can turn to counseling, but deep down, friends, the church is where we find life in Jesus. Billy Graham once preached, "We must see our own depravity and encounter the love of Jesus." Let me say that again. We must see our own depravity and encounter the love of Jesus. For we know, precious friend, that true forgiveness is only found through Him. So what are we living for? Why are we here? We're living for God and we're trusting in Him for our eternal future. A future in heaven that is a holy city. Inhabitants that are free from what haunt us now. No more death. No more sorrow, no more pain, and no more tears. Friends, the former things are passed away. We need only know one thing to pump us up for this life, to keep that passion alive, to go where God is leading us. And it is this: God desires all men to be saved. Did you hear what I just said? God desires all men to be saved. That's not just us, is it? All men, all women, all children outside these four walls were called to give a witness to share our stories with, to go to the grocery stores, to go to the sports events, to go to the band concerts, and live a life worthy of His calling. How are we doing, friends? You see, Jesus took the judgment for our sins upon Himself. He endured hell for us. But God says we must repent of our sins and receive Him in our hearts. Don't confuse that word. Repentance is changing. Changing our mind toward God and toward ourselves. Seeing yourself as a sinner and seeing the holiness, seeing the righteousness of God. Seeing anew that Christ died for you. Then, friends, we must believe. Graham goes on and he said, "Belief is committing yourself, your total self, to Christ as Lord and Savior. It's following and serving Him, not our own wants and desires in any aspect of our lives. But guess what, church? God gives us the choice. You get to decide. But there is an outcome for each of us. There is an ending to our story. If you can imagine with me a string or a rope traversing the entire way back through the sanctuary. Of that rope, how much of that rope do you feel represents this life? And if you even make it as far as Alan, you've gone too far. For we know that in the midst of eternity, our knowledge of a heaven forever, our lives in comparison to a rope that goes on forever is about this much. But friends, how much we spend focusing on this life and not focusing on the next. But that choice not to trust in Jesus, not to believe, sends us to a place called hell, which is total, which is complete separation from God in darkness. And you'll thirst for Him, but your thirst will never be quenched. Remember in Scripture, it says, of all fears that plague the heart of man, none is greater than the fear of death. It is our greatest fear. It is the sum of all other fears. Deep down, each one of us could confess this morning, we're afraid to die. We're afraid of what happens when we die. There's something about the unknown we're not very comfortable with. So we know this morning that death is the fundamental human problem, but we have been given the problem solver. We know we can't escape it. It may have happened once or twice, maybe three or four times in your life, but eventually it will catch up with us. There's no way to outrun it. We can't cheat it. Death will find us. But friends, as we heard in John 3:16 to 18, we have hope of an eternal future. We know the verse, for God so loved the, you put the world in there, but this morning I want you to put your own name in there. For God so loved Alan. For God so loved Gary. For God so loved Mary. For God so loved Gail. And put your name in there and realize that because God so loved you, that one and only son Jesus He gave, you're not going to die just a physical death. There's going to be an eternity after that physical death. There's eternal life. You've heard these sermons preached time and time again. But there comes a point that we have to recognize there's a life ever after. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look into what's not really a secret. It can be known, things about heaven. I'm not talking about the movie Heaven is for Real. I'm not talking about books that have been written. We're talking about what Scripture says about heaven. And that's where we'll focus these next few weeks. But maybe today you need to be assured of that eternal place. Maybe you've been coming to church your entire life. Maybe you've gone to Sunday school. You know every single Bible verse that you could possibly recite. But life is still about you. What you want, what you think is best. So you see, there's never been this exchange for death for life ever after. Maybe you're still holding on and you've never really let go. Maybe you're afraid and you fear the possibility that that other side doesn't exist. So you want to YOLO because you realize you may only live once. But friends, that's not true. This life is temporary. This life is fleeting. This life is like a snap of a finger. It's a vapor. It's a mist. So if you want to put energy into something, put it into what God has for you, the purpose he has for you. So I'm going to invite us to close our eyes. And maybe today you need to return to the Lord. Maybe you need to repent, make a U-turn from the direction you're heading. But know as your eyes are closed, friends, that God is with us here now. He can feel your heartbeat. He knows the anxiety that you're experiencing. But maybe right now in this moment, for the very first time, you need to simply let it go. But as you let it go, as you surrender, know that he is holding you. Know that he is keeping you steady. So friend, it's okay to let that transfer happen. It's okay to step aside and allow that change within to happen. So if you're feeling anything right now, like something moving inside of you, don't ignore it. God has greater things for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to remove you from the self-centered life to the God-centered life. But in this moment, perhaps you need to say, yes, Lord, I'm getting out of the way. I'm removing myself. I'm putting you at the center. I want to live for you. So we're going to take a few moments and let the Spirit work in your life and acknowledge his existence and find purpose. So I just invite you in silent meditation, examination, to sense what the Lord is doing right now in your life. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would continue to do the work that you're doing in the lives of these precious people. We know, Father, there is no greater joy than knowing you, that we can live in peace, we can live in harmony, we can serve you together as the church, and we can go places we never imagined we'd go before by simply getting out of the way and letting you do what you do best. So lead us, Father, first as individuals, and then lead us as a congregation to go where you call us to go, to reach where you call us to reach. And let there be hope upon our tongues as we go from this place, because we know that hope is in an eternal life, a life far greater than anything we experience here. So, Lord, continue to have your way. Continue to be the center. For we know that you will take us to higher ground. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and we give you ourselves as an offering so that we might be fragrant to others, that they might know you through us. May it be done. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
truly believe that's the will of God for each of us, to take us to higher ground. But he gives us the choice whether or not we'll go to higher ground, because we need to be willing to let go and to surrender and allow him to do just that. So may this be the day where you seek and you find those higher grounds in Jesus our Lord. May it be so in the name of Jesus. Amen.